Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parables of the Lost Sheep, the Lost Coin, the Prodigal Son and His Elder Brother. Part 3. The Return of the Elder Brother. Continued. The great benefit, and yet the great danger, of the Christian Church. Sadly, those attempting to earn God's favour are found in every generation of the Church. In fact, it is the great danger of those who have grown up in the Church. Surrounded by the people of God and the things of God, we naturally assume that we are truly part of God's household. After all, we share the same rituals, talk the same language, and adopt the same habits and customs. We are the true sons of the Church, just like the scribes and Pharisees. We have the praises of God on our lips and play a full part in the activities of the Church. And yet, what of our everyday living? Our family life? Our handling of money, our relationships with those around us, our language, and perhaps most revealing of all, our time spent personally before the Lord. In truth before God, we may find that despite the things we say and sing on Sundays, we actually have hearts that are very far from Him, just like the scribes and Pharisees. From such a position, can you see how easy it is for us to step into the elder brother's shoes, to find ourselves looking in judgment on others, and feeling that, taking into account all our decent and law-abiding living, all our religious service and devotion, somehow the Lord God owes us a favour, or to acknowledge our faithfulness in some way. At the very least, we've earned the equivalent of a young goat to celebrate with our friends. Although we may feel this way at any stage of life, it can particularly happen when some calamity strikes, or when old age and the associated limitations and sicknesses come home to our doorstep. We feel that somehow the Lord God owes us something better than this. In midlife, we slip on the ice and break an arm. Why should this happen to me when I'm so busy? Or in old age, why did you let this happen to me after all I've done for you? Years of outwardly obedient service, and yet embittered by the sufferings and difficulties that come with old age to godly and ungodly folk alike. It's not easy for us to see that even years of dutiful and devoted service do not earn us God's favour. They are only, as Isaiah so strikingly puts it, as filthy rags. It is just as hard for us as it was for the Pharisees, who wholeheartedly devoted their lives to religious observance, aiming to fully keep every detail of the law. It's a hard lesson to learn that before God, all we ever have or ever hope for is always and only by grace, by His unmerited favour. It is never, ever because the Lord God owes us a favour or is in some way indebted to us. Perhaps some of the most solemn words in the New Testament fell from the Lord's lips as He warned that many on the last day will say to Him, "Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name, and done many mighty things in your name?" And He responds with frightening finality, "I never knew you. Depart from me." To how many busy and esteemed church leaders and church members will our Lord have to say those words, some of the most terrifying words in the New Testament? "I never knew you." A dutiful servant, or a grateful, forgiven child of God. If we grasp the Lord's great lesson taught in this parable, we will come to our Heavenly Father as empty-handed as the returning prodigal son. Like him, none of us actually has anything to offer. Indeed, justice demands our instant banishment. When we see this, we'll come to him pleading for mercy and forgiveness, and subsequently asking each day for fresh forgiveness. Such a constant younger son frame of mind will stir us to live a life of grateful thanks for his daily mercy toward us, and long to respond in practical, joyful, and freely given service. This younger son way of thinking is the God-given tonic that can fortify us against the creeping elder brother mindset, which is the constant temptation of the religious, be they scribes and Pharisees, or modern Christians. And with it, unlike the elder brother, we will share the joy of heaven over each fellow sinner who repents, each person rescued and brought home to our Heavenly Father. Sadly, like the scribes and Pharisees, we can too easily slip into the elder brother's shoes and find ourselves secretly or openly satisfied when natural justice takes its course and ungodly ways lead to a fall. However, it is not the will of God, our Heavenly Father, that any of his children should perish, but that each should come to repentance. The challenge of the Lord's parable to the scribes and Pharisees and to us in our day is to reject our natural, self-righteous and competitive spirit and to share his heart in bringing many sons to glory, to raise the fallen and do all we can to bring them home to the Father. May I ask, like the elder brother, are you living a life of obedient service? Does the Lord God owe you a place in his heaven, a favour, at very least a goat to celebrate with your friends? Or have you discovered the joy of serving him as a son or daughter out of grateful love for his amazing goodness and mercy toward you? One elder brother Pharisee whose heart was totally changed. This whole series of parables clearly reflects how much God our Heavenly Father and his Son the Lord Jesus Christ care about wayward and stumbling humanity, how they seek and search and spare no pains for the rescue and recovery of spiritually lost and straying people, how our Heavenly Father watches and waits and welcomes. But, and this is so amazing, the final section of this series displays how our Heavenly Father also cares deeply about religiously inclined people who are mistakenly convinced of their own self-made righteousness. The self-righteousness that leads us, like the scribes and Pharisees before us, to despise people who of their own doing have got into a desperate muddle, and to resent the mercy shown to them, and to imagine that we ourselves would never make such errors, need no repentance. The picture of the return of the elder brother shows how our Heavenly Father goes out to entreat folk like this to come in. In these parables, we have set before us, as in a mirror, the joy of heaven over one sinner who repents, be he wayward youth or outwardly impressive religious person. Not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, writes the Apostle Paul, but according to his mercy he saved us. True repentance begins when we see, with horror, where we really stand before Almighty God, turn from our own ways and run to him for mercy. With overwhelming grace and forgiveness, he comes to meet us where we are, either to bring us home, as with the younger son, or to bring us in, as with the elder son. This is a true saying and worthy of acceptance by everyone, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, writes that former Pharisee, the Apostle Paul, I am the chief. Over the arch of the doorway of a little church, through which minister, church officers, and people must pass, is written, This man receiveth sinners. I, for one, have cause to praise God that he did and still does. Do you? By the pulpit in another ancient church is the memorial tablet of the local 19th century squire. It has his name, dates, and then three short texts, clearly of his own choosing, to the effect, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I know whom I have believed. Could such words be put on your memorial stone? Has the Son of God found and rescued you, brought you home or brought you in? For squire, parson, and people, there was, and still is, only one way, just as there was for tax collectors and sinners, scribes and Pharisees. Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us. Show us with great clarity where we really stand before you. Enable us to turn our back on all our deep-seated ways of trying to earn your favour, and bow our knee to you, recognizing that our only hope lies in your unmerited, undeserved mercy.